All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck and John.
Hey now.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Hey now.
Yeah, Chuck said his. John is nervously.
I haven't any flagship catchphrases.
You're wearing a Tony Allen t-shirt.
Twice stolen catchphrase.
That's right. That is true.
Yeah. I stole that catchphrase from someone who stole that catchphrase.
Correct.
I guess
So the originator is Hank Kingsley.
Hank Kingsley.
And then I said it in season one.
Well, Howard Stern did it.
It's a thrice stolen catchphrase then.
Right. Well,
I like it.
Yeah, when I used to listen to Howard Stern like 10 years ago.
Who said it? Baba Booey?
Anybody. There would people call in and hit you with a hey now. You know, so, but yeah, I got it from Stern.
And I didn't know it was stolen until I actually watched the Larry Sanders Show.
Oh, yeah.
Like a year ago.
Mm, really?
So, yeah.
Greatest show.
So good.
So good.
I love it. Fantastic. If you are similarly the age that we are about and like revisiting all kinds of late 90s celebrities who just show up playing themselves, treasure trove.
It's amazing.
Larry Sanders Show on HBO Go, HBO Now.
It's like that first, it's that behind the scenes kind of like, what kind of cinema style is that? Is that cinema verite where they're like?
I would say it's almost the like forerunner of the mockumentary style.
Yeah. Like pre like 30 Rock kind of, or Arrested Development kind of. Oh, it's so incredible. Perfect jokes.
Really is.
Great characters.
Perfect David Duchovny's.
Oof.
It's really grim augury, the Robin Williams appearance.
Oh, yeah. It is
grim augury.
Kind of sad.
The sad clown.
It was a sad clown.
Just brought us down there. Well, how about breakfast, guys? Have we had breakfasts?
Oh, I did. So I don't know if you guys are signed up for our Patreon, which is it gives us exclusive access and content to cool stuff. But we just filmed myself eating a sandwich from Tower Deli. It was a breakfast sandwich, ham, egg, and cheese. I let the sandwich kind of sit for about 20 minutes.
Rest.
So it, you know, the cheese had time to melt and kind of, you know, become one. There was no difference between the egg, cheese, and bread in this sandwich. It was all just one molecular structure.
The bread kind of looked like Cuban-ish. Was that? No?
Yeah, it's just a roll. It's just what it is an approximation of a New York deli breakfast sandwich or bodega breakfast sandwich. It's not perfect, but it gets you there, and it's like $3, so you can't beat it.
My breakfast, what John brought me for the Patreon video, well, we'll just have to save that for our Patreon viewers. My actual breakfast before that, I cooked some eggs home with the two kids under three today, one of whom is watching as we record right now. He requested some eggs. Even though he kind of refuses to eat eggs, he just likes to watch me make the eggs.
Oh, I get that.
So I just made like just a simple cheese omelet. Hit the spot, though. Hadn't eaten a real breakfast in, I want to say, like 18 episodes of our recording.
Yeah.
It'd been a while before I'd honestly
eaten. We're going to have an intervention.
A real breakfast before recording. But this morning, I had some eggs.
Slacking in your snacking.
Well, when there was one set of footprints, that's when I carried both of you.
Mm.
I went all out this morning. Steak and eggs.
Ooh.
Oh.
It's the best breakfast.
Nice.
Miso glaze. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Woke up terrifyingly early. Don't know why. So decided to put the largesse to work.
You did text before, I want to say, 9 a.m.
Sorry about that.
No, that was fine. No. I'm awake. It was
I waited
strange.
It out.
So am I.
Yeah, yeah.
that was me trying to be polite and perhaps failing.
No, it worked. Was that the whole story, John?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, after our breakfast, we move to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode. It is often the first time we talk about basketball. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
On this podcast, we talk about Ishvorp. And if you don't know what Ishvorp is, it's very specific to our podcast. It's the iShop value over replacement, which is the negative fantasy league that we play, and it gives you the understanding of who's the worst player.
Negative fantasy league for our Patreon subscribers over at fantrax.com.
It's the most exciting fantasy I've ever played.
Volatile.
Volatile.
Sorry, go ahead.
But The leader for the past few weeks in Ishvorp has been Josh Richardson, and we've been pretty much dogging him for the past few games. He's been on fire, and including a game where he played your Grizzlies. And
I'm not aware of any game, Chuck.
Happy to beat the balls off you.
So much on fire that he, in fact, is no longer atop the Matt Sullivan brought Ishvorp top 10.
This is early for the Ishvorp.
Ooh, throw that Ishvorp out.
We now have at 10th. Here comes the rooster, Danilo Gallinari.
Ooh,
coming
at
fast.
Ninth, Jared Bayless. At 8th, rookie sensation, Josh Jackson. At 7th, Wesley Matthews. At 6th, the suddenly getting minutes again, Evan Turner.
I would say Wes Matthews has been on a very good streak. Cut it out.
Stop it.
At 5th, J.R. Layin' Pipe Smith. Mm-hmm. At 4th, Marcus Smarf. At 3rd, another rookie sensation, Dilly Brooks. At 2nd, the aforementioned Josh Richardson. And at 1st, Stanley Steamer Johnson.
Makes sense.
Stanley Johnson, who dropped another 0 for game. We will get to that later.
Mm-hmm. Technically tied, but it seems Sullivan has devised some sort of tiebreaker. So thank you, Matt Sullivan, for the Ishvorp rankings. These are your elite and efficiently terrible players.
Yeah, Josh Richardson didn't even play that well against the Grizzlies. Surprisingly, the Grizzlies were favorites in that game.
Stunning.
John texted to say Grizzlies favored by 1.5. I was like, I assume they're going to lose by 20.
25.
25 it was.
He put up 17 against the Grizzlies.
Not good Grizzlies.
Poor Grizzlies.
Apology is to a man we have taken pot shot after pot shot at. I believe he's also been apologized to before by other members of the podcast. I will now take my turn. Rajon Rondo, you look pretty okay.
Yeah, he's...
Thought you'd be a terrible signing for the Pelicans. Blah, 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 spacing, blah, 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 not what they need. But he honestly has been a catalyst for a Pelicans team that is having a great offense. They're winning games because of their offense, definitely not their defense, in the last 6 games.
If you'd like to stay defamatory, I don't think they're going to hit like 16 threes again.
Well, no, but I mean...
He helped it happen.
In the last 6 games that he's played, they've gone 3-3. It's been against some good competition, but he's averaging 12 points, 11.5 assists, 6.5 rebounds, 1.3 steals, while shooting 57% from the field and hitting half of his three-pointers on over 3 attempts per game. So, again, and it's not just the accumulating stats. He's always accumulated stats. It's just they have a very good offensive rating. They are still beating teams despite their really weird, awkward lineups. Yes, DeMarcus Cousins and Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis and even Etwan Moore are playing really well.
Etwan Moore balled out.
But Rondo is doing a really good job. I thought he would be damaging. He's not, as far as I can tell, being damaging. I'm sorry, Rajon Rondo.
I think part of what makes Rajon work on this team a little better is it really allows Drew Holiday to just gun.
Right.
Which I didn't think was going to work, and it seemed like when the season started, Drew Holiday got off to a really slow start, and it was like, maybe Drew doesn't fit in this role. I even came up with the pop psychologist theory. Maybe he doesn't care about basketball anymore because his wife beat brain cancer and gave birth to a child, and he's like, you know what? I got paid. I'm good. Yeah. Let's just enjoy life. But no, Drew's been balling out.
But the Pelicans, their bench is trash, and those guys have to produce. Do you know how many points?
As a Grizzlies fan, and you're talking about a bench that includes Tony Allen, and I'm wearing a Tony Allen shirt, I'm going to throw this basketball-shaped phone at your face.
Do you know how many points in the Houston game the bench scored?
Don't.
I'm going to go with 7.
But I do
3 points.
Woo!
In a 123-point game.
That's insane. Was it Darius Miller hitting 1-3?
I think it was.
How many points did Boogie have?
I don't know.
We don't read box scores here, John.
No. All I know is Etwan.
I felt like Chuck was looking at the box score then.
I wasn't.
And I don't know why I said that so aggressively, but.
Yeah, you read box scores like I read the articles in a Playboy. I'll go ahead and apologize to, we've done this so many times. Devin Booker, we put the injury stink on you.
Oh, we kind of cursed you. I think you apologized to him last week or 2 weeks ago just for talking bad about him.
He's staying in my lane.
And now we cursed him.
He's staying in my lane. I guess I could apologize to LeVar for never saying goodbye before he went off to Lithuania with his 2 children.
Shipped his kids to this former Soviet blocks.
For like $4,000.
I mean, that is the type of stuff your parents used to say to scare you. Like, I'll send you off to military school in Lithuania. Latvia.
Mm-hmm.
This apparently is better than getting a free ride to UCLA. I'm not sure I understand.
Can you... I didn't really want to talk about it, but I guess it's interesting. And like, can you imagine being a kid, a basketball player on scholarship at UCLA, and then contrasting that with...
Chuck's imagining it right now, and his pants are going very tight.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Like, contrasting that with, let's go to Lithuania, where I don't speak the language, to play professional basketball for $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
And $4,000 total.
And play maybe 5 minutes a game, probably. Because they, like, in those leagues...
Los Angeles, rookies. Free ride,
mm-hmm.
Celebrity...
UCLA. Brother plays
Lithuania,
for the Lakers.
And I'm not even saying... I can say any country. Any country that's cold where I don't speak the language.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure Lithuania is fine.
Yeah.
Murder hostels.
Yeah, murder hostels.
We have murder hostels in America, John.
Yeah, that's true.
Not like in Lithuania, dog.
It's called Airbnb.
This is some, like, super aggressive parenting, though. Like, LeVar was like, hey, we can't have you in L.A. with your brother playing... Or the Lakers.
This is some no wire hangers-ish right here.
Yeah. He's like, we got to get you out of this country. We got to get you focused on the game. And it's like a last-ditch effort to get those kids ready.
What happened last time his kid left the country?
Ooh. Trump had to bail him out
of
prison.
Did they pick Lithuania because of the name LiAngelo LaMelo and Lithuania?
Lithuania.
I think that is where, like, LeVar played, right?
Is it because in his Google browser, anytime he types anything, it adds L-I?
Right.
And he's just like, we're countries.
Yeah. It was either that or...
Alexa, country.
Give me a country that...
Is that how Alexa
starts
works?
With my last name.
Alexa doesn't understand a single yammering statement out of my Hunter S. Thompson voice.
Mm-hmm. John, you were sent to boarding school, right?
Oh, yeah. Many boarding schools.
Yeah, what's the worst place your parents sent you?
Well, in a surprising twist, I was sent from Los Angeles to Virginia.
Oh.
Which is kind of like Lithuania.
It is, very much so.
It's really dull. But after that, I spent some time in Tennessee, where I live now,
right,
and Georgia, where I graduated high school from.
It's pretty good. I guess.
And it was Georgia in the United States, not Georgia. That might be near Lithuania. I don't know.
Not really sure. The next question would be, what's the most money you would send your kid away for?
I don't know.
Your kid is four?
He's four. He's four, and there are times I look at him and I go, this kid's going to need boarding school.
I turned out great.
Yeah, that's what I can't wait for. but yeah, I would probably, I mean, it depends. If it gives my son a better chance at life, which I think, you know... Daddy Ball thinks he's doing for his kids, which I kind of
you
applaud.
Think so?
I think he thinks it's going to help them to get them focused on the game and away from all the distractions that is Los Angeles, California.
I have moved from the LeVar Ball as a marketing mastermind to LeVar Ball probably has some sort of syndrome at this point.
Oh, how does it help your marketing to take him from Los Angeles?
Yeah.
To a city in Lithuania I've never heard of.
Well, this is like Zach Lowe on two beers. It's off the rails.
It's off the rails.
It is off the rails. Anyway, those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we move to our steak and eggs best thing, I believe we have some questions from our Patreon supporters. The croissant questionnaire.
It's been a long time. Shouldn't have left you without a dope question to step two. Let's begin with a question from Justin Barrett. Fellas, some events are more fortunate than others. If you were the NBA biographer for the future generations, which event would you censor forever?
I like the idea of a biographer or historian being a person who willfully omits facts to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds pretty accurate.
It is accurate.
The victors write the victories write the history books, boys. Chuck, what event would you... What's the one NBA event you wish no one would know about? I have a theory.
It's LeBron leaving Miami.
I had a feeling.
Yeah.
So he'd still just be coasting?
Just be in Miami.
Well, he would just disappear Bison Dele style?
Yes.
He would just, yeah.
Too soon?
A little too soon. No, that would probably be it.
I have been stuck on Bison Dele's Wikipedia page for hours before. Just going down all the tunnels.
He can get you.
I could use another Tom Ripley novel where he crosses paths with Bison Dele. I would watch that movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. For me, an event that like I think really still haunts me to this day is that, and kind of tore open how I saw a lot of the stuff in the NBA, The Kings Lakers series.
Oh yeah.
That was very obviously thrown by Donaghy and company.
The Kobe Bryant elbow to the face foul on Bibby.
All of it.
Although some of Haralabob's followers, didn't they break down the whole thing and come to the conclusion it probably was not thrown? They thought that, you know, there were some egregious famous foul calls, but there was...
I'm going to trust my memory as a, like, 17-year-old over Haralabob's well-informed, statistically obsessed followers.
Crowdsourcing.
Keith, what say you?
Well, I am so obsessed. I'm becoming even more tunnel vision on the Grizzlies and Tony Allen. It's what I cling to in my trauma currently experiencing.
PTSD.
I would
so
merely,
just this offseason?
I would merely erase the tiny footnote that the Warriors beat the Grizzlies 2 years ago because they switched Andrew Bogut onto Tony Allen.
That was painful.
A footnote, which is, I still, pretty much false. He pulled his hamstring, and it was only like 8 possessions, but still, I would erase that completely from history.
It was on SportsCenter and Deadspin simultaneously was the most press we'd gotten in a long time.
Right, and Zach Lowe has made it part of history by saying, that's how they solved the Grizzlies. They didn't solve the Grizzlies. Like, Mike Conley couldn't hit a shot, and Tony Allen got hurt. I would just erase that whole chapter. The Warriors beat the Grizzlies because they were much better. The end. Biography over.
Sam Wilkinson asks, if a time traveler appeared in front of you right now and said, Giannis ends 2018 with a second straight most improved player, defensive player of the year, and third in MVP voting, would you immediately say, no way? Or would you at least heave to consider... Nah, Sam, that's not how you spell that. Have to consider the possibility that the time traveler was telling the truth.
Well, I want to say Sam has asked this question in numerous ways before.
Mm-hmm. I see what he's going for, though.
I will still answer.
Is Giannis plausible? Is perhaps that's what he's asking?
Well, I'm going to answer if the time traveler approaches me with this information, I'm going to assassinate that time traveler and close that loop.
Oh, I didn't think of that. I forgot about that.
So you want back-to-back most improved players? Has that ever happened?
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen this year.
Yeah.
But would you believe it if said time traveler told you it occurred?
If I'm going to believe a time traveler, Booster Gold, some other famous time travelers of old, Bruce Willis.
Marty McFly.
I mean, if I'm going to believe a time traveler, this isn't that unbelievable.
No.
Giannis has kind of smashed down some barriers for me already as far as what I thought he could do. Because every time I think that there's a ceiling, it's suddenly plowed through.
Right.
So, yeah, I think I find it plausible.
I'm on board with Giannis is great next year, future time traveler telling me that. I don't buy the back-to-back most improved players because you get one of those.
Well, it's also just kind of confusing, weird award.
Yeah. But, yeah, everything else.
Like Oladipo gets that this year,
I
right?
I can see him. Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably.
You would think.
Yeah. But, yeah, they got, you know, when you have something like I think he will be in the running for MVP if that team can get any help for him. Another guy. Bledsoe's great.
Another guy?
They need another
guy. They keep getting guys.
But Bledsoe's great, but they need one, a third
Bucks,
option.
By the way, team I do not understand at all.
Well, it's a different Bucks team right now.
They keep switching on defense now, which is what they should have been doing all along.
Yeah,
it's what their roster seems like it's made
Bledsoe
for.
Is length. Passing it to these lengthy monsters off the backboard. Mm-hmm. It's I mean, the Bledsoe thing has really worked out. He was going to be my best of the week if something truly amazing hadn't happened. Yep. But I've got one more question for you guys. Feeling Minnesota asks, which non-Spurs Rockets Warriors team is the closest thing to a contender in the West?
Oof.
I say thee nay.
I mean, Minnesota?
You guys, like, you got to say Minnesota?
So bad at defense.
Here's,
apologies to Sam Mitchell. The defense was better under him than Tibbs.
Can we say specifically who isn't? Because I think Thunder
everyone.
Aren't.
That's really easy.
I was going to say the Thunder because they at least have talent, even
and
if they're terrible.
I'm going to say the Thunder because, like, they're losing games, but if you, like, dig into, like, net rating and stuff, it's not that bad.
Their net rating is but such a fake
so
out.
So much
they're
worse.
They're terrible.
Let's put a pin in that. I'll talk about it in a minute.
I actually have one more croissant query.
Do me. Who's this one from?
Sergio Rodriguez asks, if you were given a terminal diagnosis and only had a year to live, would you waste it cheering for your favorite team, the Memphis Grizzlies?
This is very...
Is this your way of telling us you just got diagnosed with a serious disease?
No, it's a purely theoretical exercise. Cool.
Is this your way of telling me I just got diagnosed? Is this a symptom?
If you were given a year to live, would you still keep cheering for your team if it was bad?
Can I add a caveat?
Sure.
If they trademark Saul, it's over.
Yeah.
I'm just saying any specific team.
Like, could I pick any team to root for? Do I have to pick my team?
I was thinking in my darkest of dark places, watching the Grizzlies after the nauseating loss to the Thunder, one of the worst basketball games I've ever
seen.
Gross.
One of the most nauseating games you'll ever
see. Right. And then after seeing them quit yet again and just get hosed by the Heat, I was like, if you only had a year to watch basketball or to be with your family, would I watch any more of this Grizzlies team?
Probably not. I wouldn't waste my time.
I think I would join my buddies, the Roundball Rockers. Screw you guys. I'm a Warriors fan now.
Right.
I got one more year to ride. I'm on the bandwagon of the Warriors. But then it's like, is that a bad person? Does that make me a bad person?
No.
I feel like Chuck has already answered this question.
Because
Chuck has lived his life as if he's only had one more year for some time.
One more week.
And LeBron left quite a while ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And before their amazing turnaround last season,
I would check that.
The Heat were kind of like the Grizzlies are right now.
Checked out.
20 games under 500.
They were worse, yeah.
And someone in my Twitter mentions was like, I can't give up yet because the Heat last year made that push. Hey, he didn't make the playoffs.
Nope.
Like,
in a bad
and they
East.
got screwed. I mean, they got Bam Adebayo out of it.
Yeah.
But they still got screwed out of a good draft pick.
Bam. Big Bam Bigelow, though. We talk about him dunking all over your team.
If I got 1 year left, I'm a ride one more year with Mark the Shark and Captain Clutch.
No way. Yeah, I'm only watching Warriors and Caps. That's it.
I'm only watching Z-Bo minutes.
Mm-mm.
Only minutes Z-Bo's on.
You know
court.
he would.
What an excellent segue into our worst of the week.
Well, before we get there, let's say if you too want to contribute a question to the croissant questionnaire, you have to join our Patreon. You can do that by going to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. A big thanks to all the people who have supported us. There, you have a few benefits. We've started posting some videos for everyone of, they might be gross, of Chuck eating breakfast, of me eating candy. You get the power rankings. We got a few more things in store. We got the $5 tier where you get some bonus audio every few weeks. We also have the producer tier, people we need to thank personally right now.
The Sulkowski brothers, thank you very much. Joshua Herbertson, thank you very much.
The Herb.
Chris Howell, thank you very much, you holy man.
Chris Howell, thank you for being there in our time of need, the disgusting loss to the Thunder at the watch party, the saddest watch party ever.
Paul Grom at Grommans, thank you very much. Sam Slack Daddy Wilkinson, thank you very much.
Keep asking your futuristic Giannis Antetokounmpo questions.
Ryan Trustafarian Darling, stay safe out there, sonny.
Trustafarian.
Viraf Nariman. That is coming at Damon Rangula for the name that haunts me most.
I don't even know who. I've never heard this person.
Right behind him, Damon Rangula. Yeah. We miss you, buddy.
Thanks, Damon. Thanks for coming on last week.
Yeah, he was great.
Good episode.
Bri Morningway, thank you very much.
Get in touch with us, Ryan.
And Ian Carmel, we salute you.
And by the way, if you're in Portland, Ian Carmel has a show on December 22nd. He's debuting a new, I believe, hour of comedy. I know we have our whole Slack chat seems to be people in Portland. Go see Ian Carmel. And the rest of you guys, support our program at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. All right. Steak and eggs, best thing. What's the best thing you saw in the last week?
Oh, man. You get news sometimes that just make you go, wow, this is amazing. We live in a great time.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, it's a good distraction in the awful time that we live in. But when you wake up to find out that Chris Bosh's mother is maybe a kingpin in a drug trafficking ring, allegedly, you get super, super
cocaine
excited.
Godmother.
Yo, she's Griselda Blanco.
Yeah.
She's the La Madrina from Cocaine Cowboys.
Running it from prison.
Yeah. So she was involved in a drug raid that found heroin and cocaine and crack, the trifecta, in her house in Texas. And she's claiming that she rented the house to people who were running it as a dope spot. But
it makes sense to me.
Chris,
not guilty.
Yeah. Apparently, this is how I actually think Chris is involved with all this, because he's apparently, quote, not spoken to her in 5 years, which seems like they
have. Damn, Aaron Rodgers.
They have burner phones. Where
yeah,
probably,
I was about to say.
They're running numbers.
He's dropping letters with a.
Right.
Finding people on Craigslist. Hey, can you deliver this envelope?
Yeah, we need to make sure that we need to go through back channel and communicate with each other via, you know, written letter.
Carrier pigeons.
But yeah,
carrier pigeons.
It's going good. It's you know, Chris Bosch can't play the game anymore, but his mama
deep in that game.
So that's my best.
Allegedly,
blood clutch, blood schmatz. Right. Give me that cartel money.
Yeah.
Mine is of a slightly criminal bent. The Smash Brothers, the Super Smash Brothers, the Cain and Abel of NBA.
The Chicago Bulls 1-2 punch?
Indeed. Nikola Mirotic, 3-0 since returning with Bobby Hans Portis.
Yeah, I think
Bobby the wingman.
I think you found a hook there.
Woo! The most beautiful part of that thrashing the Celtics, without the finisher, by the way. Lauri Markkanen was not in this game.
Which is how you got to unleash full Mirotic and Portis.
Mm-hmm.
Portis only had one assist in that game, boys.
Oh. It's not it.
Guess who it was to?
No way.
Niko Mirotic.
That's kind of
beautiful.
Amazing.
Basketball is a healing.
Well, I think Mirotic is basically like, hey, I need to get out of here, so I should play well, because I don't think he wants
to
play.
Well, I maintain that's the best revenge Mirotic can put on the organization. Like, let's just, the Bulls. Merely a game and a half behind the Memphis Grizzlies.
That's
amazing. Grizzlies 1.5 games away from the first worst record in the league.
This is like an 80s Rob Lowe sports movie.
Mm. It's beautiful.
I mean, this is some Brian song stuff. I mean, I even losing money on the Celtics last night, I had tears in my eyes.
Which one's the terminal patient, John?
Mm.
Well, obviously, Niko Mirotic got his brain blasted in.
Man.
But, I mean, you have the two rivals. They have the fist fight at the beginning of the movie. At the end, the Bulls are going to win it all, guys. Mm-hmm.
That's a movie.
They might, man. If they came from 3-20 to 62-20, that would be quite the story.
This is like Dorn and Wild Thing Vaughn in Major League.
Take off those pasties.
Well, my best thing is of a similar Eastern European flavor. Is Turkey count Eastern Europe? I don't know anything about geography.
Middle East,
it's close
really.
To Lithuania.
Yeah. I'm just glad you knew where Ersan was from.
Ersan Ilyasova. Hova. I wanted the Grizzlies to get in the offseason for the paltry sum of $6 million, which he signed for the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
He returned to the Hawks, went 9-for-9 in a game with 26 points, was 5-for-5 from three, followed that up with a 5-for-6 three-point game against the Knicks. He's 10-for-11 from downtown in the Hawks' last two games. They will play the Cavs before you hear this, probably the end of the run, or maybe he'll just keep it going. But with the injuries to Dwayne the Deadman and John Collins... I got nothing. Was that an Irish revolutionary?
I think so. That's Tom Collins.
Tom Collins.
That's a drink, guys.
That's a drink.
Mm. Anyway.
A most delicious drink.
Ersan stepping up, return to the Hawks. They might still hit that over. It's only 23.5. You can do it.
You can do it.
And I've just really enjoyed watching Ersan ball out. 10-for-11 in two games. That's incredible.
I miss Ersan on the Bucks when he grabbed those 20 rebounds. He's getting like 4 and 3 rebounds a game. He's just jacking now.
Mm. Yeah.
This is no steak and eggs.
Back in the day, Ersan used to do like 26 and 24.
Oh, yeah. He was a fantasy stud. Now he's like, I just picked him up in iShop. I'm hoping all these minutes and all this jacking leads to some delicious iShoppery.
That 10-for-11 is
Stay hot.
Taco Bell unsustainable business model. All right. Opposite of steak and eggs, the cream of wheat, worst of week. What's the worst thing you saw?
Y'all better let me go last, because mine nullifies the Grizzlies epilogue. Mine undoes things. our podcast might be done. So I'm going to hang back and chill out over here for a while.
All right. So
meditate.
I'll take it then. Something is rotten in the state of Oklahoma, and it's the Thunder.
Is there draconian drug laws?
I know. I think it is.
I'm in a really dark space, guys. I'm sorry.
But it's, I know we look at their numbers and their net rating and all that. It doesn't, you know, they have a net rating of a team with a better record than they do.
Right.
It's just body language. I know that's, you know, one of our specialties here, the body language interpretations. But watching the Memphis game against the Thunder the other day, Carmelo was sitting on the scorer's table during a timeout. Billy Donovan had to go and like give him a pep talk before the game started back up. Melo's walking out, not doing press conferences, not hanging out with the team. It seems like there's a lot of chemistry issues there. Billy Donovan's backtracking, saying things like Carmelo's having a hard time because he's such a superstar and he's so selfless. And it just seems ridiculous. He's just saying all the right stuff, trying not to get fired. But I think this Thunder team just has like a structural thing that isn't going to lead to much success, especially when it comes to the playoffs. They're going to get crushed.
Would you rather move from Los Angeles to Vietatis? Oh, no, that's a coach. How embarrassing. Would you rather move from Los Angeles to an unnamed city in Lithuania or New York City to Oklahoma?
Mm.
Maybe he's just depressed.
Yeah, that could be it. He just got divorced. His ex-wife Lala's stunting on Instagram looking fine. and he's stuck in the greater Oklahoma City region.
Here's a stat from The Ringer. Of the 33 players in the NBA who are taking at least 15 shots per game, Russell Westbrook ranks 33rd in field goal percentage. Carmelo Anthony ranks 32nd. Paul George ranks 30th.
Mm-hmm. They're all really bad.
Donovan Mitchell, the only one breaking up.
And he's just been heating up recently, but Mitchell.
He's been heating up. So,
but yeah, Westbrook the other night against the Grizzlies, probably the worst triple-double I've ever seen. I mean, it just looked bad. I think he shot like 8% from three.
It was grotesque, and we will dive into it more
later
the awards
in the show.
Segment of the, of the program.
Yeah, like it's just it's not only that, but I played a drinking game where I took a shot every time Westbrook passed the ball and then did nothing, where he just watches and waits for the ball to come back to him. And I was drunk by the end of the second quarter, like blacked out.
I like that joke, Chuck. It's also like the most out of character, nerdiest thing you've ever said.
I dig it.
You're like, Dunked On inspired me to do this drinking game.
Oh, don't go Dunked On. If it was Dunked On, you'd be listening to the bastard child of Siri and Andre the Giant.
Malcolm Delaney needs to go to his left more often. Statistics show, you know what, actually, my wife and I, excuse me, girlfriend and I, have been trying to spice up things in the bedroom, so we have decided to split a Brazzers subscription. If you would like to second screen that with me tonight, sign on to our Periscope page. That Chuck is no Dunked On. Dunked On's a different level of tomfoolery.
That's funny.
And I like Dunked On, but let's not get crazy. I'd never say that about
I've never heard Nate Duncan slowed down to regular speed before. that was wild. My worst thing, going back to the Bucks just a little bit, yes, Jason Kidd has finally started switching some things, but he did an insane... They were winning by 4 points in a game, and they purposely fouled the opponent to send them to the line to score with no time going off the clock, and he explained it away as, well, yeah, we knew we were going to get into a foul shooting game, so we were going to like take it to them. That's crazy. Like that. I mean, maybe he's just purposely saying that to make people angry.
Right.
They're winning in spite of him.
They're winning in spite of him. Like, Bledsoe's playing really well. Middleton is still playing really well.
I can't believe how well Bledsoe has played.
Is Jabari coming back anytime soon?
I don't know.
I mean, do they need Jabari to come back anytime? I mean, apparently they're front runners for DeAndre. I mean, the Bucks are going to be interesting.
I'd like to see him.
It's going to be weird to keep track. It's going to be weird to see where DeAndre lands, because apparently he signed an agent. That might be, you know, obviously a sign. He's never had an agent before, mm-hmm. as you could tell from the whole Dallas fiasco.
Yeah. Right.
But so it seems like he's probably going to be on the move. So, John, are we tabling your worst for an epilogue, or are we ready to dive in?
Let's do it.
All right, let's dive in.
It's bad enough that I have to watch against two of the best centers in the game, two of the best low post players in the game, Zach Randolph destroy the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
Having one of the best games I've ever seen him have.
Where I'm from, bullies get bullied.
Shut your mouth. I'm bullying you right now.
Bullies get
35
bullied.
35 points. 5 3-pointers. And an overtime win.
Career high for 3-pointers. Yeah.
I have to watch that and pine for him. And then we watch him say what he said to DeMarcus.
Mm.
Go ahead and say it again, Chuck.
Well, I'm from Bullies Get Bullied. In my hood, bullies get bullied.
It's the best guy.
If he were
still on the Grizzlies,
I want him to be my
attendance would go through the roof for the next game. T-shirts and flags with his face, and God knows what kind of amazing slogan, Memphis-related slogan, would be emblazoned everywhere. It would probably lead us to some kind of amazing multi-game winning streak just from the energy. And I have to sit back in Memphis and watch us blow 3 straight 16-plus point leads.
It's impressive.
That's what I have to sit through?
Yeah.
You know who needs to be bullied? Chris Wallace needs to be bullied.
Yeah. Robert Parra needs to be bullied.
I hate that this happened. And this game was apocalyptic for me. Because while
the Pelicans, Kings, while
I'm sitting there, and like we've been saying, there's only one team that knows how to use Tony Allen, and that's Memphis. It doesn't matter who the coach is, because the city's so connected to him. Tony gets run here in this game. DNP coach's decision.
It's awful.
In a loss.
Yeah.
In a loss where guards scored on them aplenty. No. Young guards that Tony would have terrorized.
John's got this vein popping out in his head.
This game was a microcosmic just curb stomping of my fandom.
I will say Tony, I saw go in one game, bang his knee and leave immediately. So maybe he was a little
bit. No, man.
He was fine. All right.
I can tell from his towel waving game that he's fine and sad at the same time.
I'm telling you what makes me so angry is watching the Grizzlies just light on fire, knowing Tony Allen desperately wanted to play for the Grizzlies, would have taken a minimum contract, and they're like, no, we have to crash and burn.
You don't think Zebo would have taken less money too?
With these garbage players.
Mm-hmm.
I know Zebo got paid, but he didn't get that paid, and I bet he would have taken less to stay.
Probably would have. I mean, plus when you take the California taxes out.
But you guys,
I got to sit and watch Jermichael Green clank free throws at the end of games instead of Zebo banging butts. I don't care if Zebo can't play D anymore.
But hey, you guys,
I don't care. There's not another guy on the frickin' Grizzlies who can score that many points, get that many boards, and, for that matter, make that many three-pointers.
Right.
That's how terrible the Grizzlies are.
I mean, but you got Ben McLemore, right?
Ben McLemore's one of our best players now, man.
He's so bad.
He's
so bad at basketball. Ben McLemore and loose balls are like magnets with their poles lined up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they just, like, you see him move towards the ball and it just moves farther away.
How about that attempted 360 dunk?
Oh, man.
Good God.
Pretty funny.
I blacked that out. That made me forget about earlier in that game where James Ennis had a breakaway, just lost the ball, just threw the ball up in the air.
Dude, and what in the hell are the Grizzlies going to do in the offseason? All those wings are gone.
Well, there's
this like kind of sneaky wing collection they have. Tyreek's gone, UFA.
Who are the
would Ennis stay?
Who are the veteran just guys on the bench? The Grizzlies.
Nobody. Brandon Wright.
Mm-hmm. There are none. Who are the players that the Grizzlies brought in that know how to win an NBA basketball game?
Yeah. None.
There's none.
I mean,
the only problem is the Grizzlies can't fire Chris Wallace because they're going to maybe sell the team.
Mm-hmm. We talked
about it. To fire him.
Let's go through the teams the Grizzlies should be favored in a game at home right now. Name the teams the Grizzlies should be favored in a game at home.
No teams.
I can think of the Bulls.
Not
the Bulls. Not with the Punch Brothers.
Undefeated. I'll say the Hawks. They got Ersan back.
The Suns.
Like the Kings? Come on now.
Bookerless
Suns.
I think Bookerless Suns.
Mavs.
Bookerless Suns.
Mavs are way better.
And the Lakers.
Why the Lakers? Lakers are good.
They got everything the Grizzlies don't have.
I mean, the Lakers have just defense.
I'm talking about Vegas should be, because they're going Vegas. West to East. Mm-hmm. So the two West Coast teams, that's the only thing I can think of. Anybody else should be pick 'em at best.
Yeah, this is a nightmare. The Grizzlies, I mean, I guess we're moving to scattered, smothered, covered.
I don't know. My mind's been erased.
Thoughts. My mind's been erased. Is there, like, a week ago, I was like, no, you probably shouldn't trade Marcus Gasol because you can't get anything. Now, it's kind of like, well, we could get a top pick this year.
You're like, you're doing that thing where you're like searching for a reason to quit now.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're just waiting for an excuse. You've like kind of like secretly packed your bags. You've got a go bag, and you're just waiting for the
bug out bag.
You're waiting for your girlfriend to like
man,
say one like say one last thing something.
And you're done.
You feel that heat coming around the corner.
Yeah.
You got to be gone in 15 minutes.
That's right.
you guys are up.
Val Kilmer over here.
I don't know, man. I'm just really bummed out because the Grizzlies have no young prospects that you're like, wow, they really need more minutes. Like Dylan Brooks.
And if they did have good draft picks, do you think Chris Wallace is going to do anything with them? If anything, the draft picks over anything else has been what's completely devastated the franchise.
I'm starting to think hard about that, like Jusuf Nurkić and Evan Turner. For Marc Gasol,
but what does that solve?
Oh, it solves very little.
Doesn't do anything. And there's the last vestige of your fan base, the fan base that's already like me, bleeding out.
Oh yeah,
from the cuts endured. This is death by a thousand cuts.
I have to become an LLC to write off all my season tickets losses.
Oh man,
this is insane. I can't. You can't give away selling a Raptors ticket or a Heat ticket.
We had like people at our watch party.
I'm going to bleep that out.
Okay.
Just the long.
Can you bleep out just the number?
Just the number.
It was a real downer,
the
man.
Watch party was a downer. Mm-hmm. Watch parties are very much tied to
success
fan
of the team.
Excitement.
Right.
No, yeah.
Where we're going to the playoffs.
I'm telling you, this podcast, we need to...
Who's going to skip the eggnog at a Christmas party?
Let's become a Sixers and Warriors podcast.
That's all we have to do. We'll crush.
Become a Sixers and Warriors podcast.
Grizzlies fandom right now is insane. I have to like pour through box scores and be like, Andrew Harrison's played pretty well last few.
Yeah, games. Andrew Harrison's
I can't
been like,
live like this.
Been like the only okay player. Oh, this is, I don't know. We should talk about something better. Bradley Beal scored a lot of points.
Yeah, he went in.
Jesus, I can't talk about the Wizards either because then I'll start thinking about those refs screwing up the end of that game.
I didn't even see the game. What happened? What was the screw up,
dude? It's the most insane crap ever. Just get over to Deadspin and watch how badly they botched they basically triple penalized the Wizards for their own clock screw up. I mean, there was no way the Wizards could win the game after what they did.
Was it better or worse than the Doug Collins U.S. Olympic team?
I don't remember that one.
That's where like the U.S. team refused their silver medals. Doug Collins is still angry about it. I've seen that a couple times.
I mean, if it happened on a larger platform, yes, that bad.
I would say, by the way, I believe the U.S. gold medal game. I might have to apologize for this. I believe the controversial gold medal game was like they let the last second run off the clock, and U.S. thought they won, and then the refs were like, no, let's put one more second back on the clock, and they bring the teams back in, and then Russia scores.
That's fine.
It seemed like seemed like not a terrible decision. Yeah. Okay, but I know Doug Collins can't talk about it, and he would murder me if I said that. Or if he heard me saying this.
Yeah, Doug Collins comes from a different era.
Throw them hands on sight.
Comes from a different era. He will punch you in the face and grab your wife's butt. Mm. Leave him alone.
Smoke a Marlboro Red.
More of just a Don Draper.
Yeah.
I mean, no, just Don Draper, just guys. Don Draper.
This is very Don Draper. I bet Don Draper can hit the tray.
Oh, he's got a jumper for sure.
Absolutely.
He's got a set shot. He's probably from like... Indiana or
get
something.
Harry Crane down low on the block, kick it out to Don Sterling,
Peggy
smoking
Olson's
cigars
PG.
On the bench. I could do this. Who wins in a game of 5-on-5? Mad Men or Tony's crew from The Sopranos?
Oh, I don't know. They got the chumpsuit Mad game. Men.
They young and in their prime, though. Tony Sirico.
Some of those young guys, man, they all play ball.
But they all smoke like three packs of unfiltered Lucky Strikes a day.
And you're saying Tony Soprano's crew doesn't? And they're all...
Are we age adjusting them?
You seen the guns on Tony Sirico?
Yeah.
We got to age adjust them.
We got to age adjust
them.
Yeah.
And just to be fair, because Big Pussy's not...
Tony played...
He's going to be like Chuck running up and down the court.
He was a football player.
Tony played college football, yeah, right?
Yeah.
For a year.
He was a college athlete. Yeah. Did a year at Rutgers.
You're at Rutgers.
If college athletes will smoke some Madison
Avenue. I mean,
Pete would be the worst. Like, if you could get him off the court.
Yeah.
Trying to think of the other
Pete's
guys.
Gangly, though, man. He was tall.
Oh, you know who would
sneaky
be?
Sneaky tall.
I bet you Don Draper's incredible.
You know who I would get?
I bet you he's a natural shooting guard, small forward.
You know who I bet would be incredible from The Sopranos? That Russian guy that didn't die in the woods?
Oh.
he'd be incredible.
What about Furio?
Oh, Furio. he's definitely...
I don't know. Sometimes this isn't so much in like basketball, but like you wouldn't want him in football because you get that like Tommy Wiseau throwing motion.
He's too pretty.
It's like, why can't you throw a football at all? It's like, oh yes, this barbaric sport is only popular in one country.
Do you know? I mean, we're speaking of metaphors regarding gangster movies. That was when I was watching the Heat Grizzlies game. You know, the only scene I could think of was from Scarface when they're doing the hit job in the
Rebenga.
And yeah, Spoelstra was Tony at the end. You know,
this is for a friend you f***ed. I'm really, really surprised you haven't given us a harder time. That's how desperately
you are.
Depressing.
You are both so sad about this, and it's almost not fun to kick you right now.
Yeah, I get it.
I had a whole thing lined up about Bam Adebayo and like, I mean, how we beat you without Whiteside and Deion Waiters playing like garbage by 20 points.
You guys, the Heat were so terrible.
We didn't play well and still destroyed you guys.
My thing was I never wanted to blow. I didn't think they should blow up the Grizzlies like before.
Marc
Gasol
sounds like Anton Chigurh in post game interviews. He's coming to practice with a bolt gun, flipping coins, taking names, ending lives.
He's saying crazy, and he even said something about like the guy last after the post game in the Heat game. He said something about the guys who left wouldn't have put up with this or something. Like he made a reference to Tony Allen and either Vince Carter and Zach Randolph about like they would not have played this way.
Well, there used to be a thing where he basically mentioned like, if we didn't score, you didn't score, right. And that urgency isn't there anymore on the defense.
Marc Gasol has checked out. I didn't think they should blow it up, but like the decision has been made.
Yeah,
the Grizzlies have lost 15-16. They're going to play the Wizards, the Warriors, and
Jesus,
the Celtics.
Onions.
All right, well, that brings us to the awards segment of the program, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, presented each week to the worst performance in a box score. We have several honorable mentions. Trey Lyles and Stanley Johnson, 0-for-8. Ray Felton, Frank Mason, and Deion Waiters, all 1-for-10. Donovan Mitchell, Kyle Lowry, 4-for-17. Carmelo Anthony, 5-for-20. We have three nominees as they occurred chronologically through the week. Danilo Gallinari.
Brewster.
In a loss to the Timberwolves was 2-for-13. 7 points, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 turnovers, 0 personal fouls. Perhaps
and he
try.
Hurt, he hurt his butt again.
He keeps hurting his glute or flute if you type it quickly on Twitter.
Fun fact, he hurt the other glute.
Often your glutes overcompensate for the injured one. Russell Westbrook in a win against the Memphis Grizzlies. 7-for-29.
Yowzer.
Put up the stats, though. 20 points, 14 assists, 11 rebounds, 1 steal, 3 turnovers, 5 personal fouls, 7-for-29.
And he made his damn free throws.
And he made his free throws. That is incredible. And he told Andrew Harrison to go home. You lost. Go home. And then Reggie Jackson in a loss to the Celtics. 0-for-9.
I feel like we've missed Reggie.
Kind of have been missing Reggie. 0-for-9, 2 points. 1 rebound, 3 assists, 2 steals, no turnovers, 1 personal foul. So, Danilo Gallinari, 2-for-13, 7 points, 4 boards. Russell Westbrook, 7-for-29, a true stack house, with, 20 points, 14 assists, 11 rebounds. And then Reggie Jackson, 0-for-9.
I'm going Reggie. Welcome back.
just 0-for-9. It's so small.
I like the Westbrook. I just think it's the ugliest triple double I've ever seen. And I know we're only supposed to look
at
the
box. That is
kind of
interesting to give it to a triple double, but I can't give it to a triple double.
And it's a big triple. It's like a 20-point, 14 assist.
20 points on 29 shots.
So amazing.
It was an ugly game. He played an ugly game. We're not supposed to.
I kind of wanted to give it to Danilo Gallinari for his 2-for-13, 7.
Just give it to the Booty Man. Booty Man. I'll change mine to Rooster.
Okay.
All right.
I'll go Rooster too.
I wanted to give it to Reggie just because I've missed him so much.
I'm going.
Reggie has like 3 of these.
I'm going Westbrook. I have to give it to him.
I will say, and I don't know if you guys are up for it. Real quick.
Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Lena Headley, Lena Headley.
All right. Game of Scones, iShop Edition. Russ Westbrook shot 29 times and made under 25% of them, going 7-for-29. That hasn't happened very frequently in Basketball Reference's database. That has only happened 6 other times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other times. Can you name the other 6 people to shoot at least 29 times and make under 25% of their shots.
Chuck won earlier, I should. So he should get to go first.
Gilbert Arenas.
That's a great guess. No.
Kobe!
So who?
Kobe Bryant.
That's a great guess, but no.
Wow.
We're just striking guys out pretty quick. These aren't gettable. There are some
25.
Gettables.
What is it again? 25%?
29, at least 29 attempts. Wow. Made under 25% of them. Not a lot of guys going to shoot that much.
Yeah.
We got one strike apiece. Well, he did it. Okay. But no, that does not count. Six other ones.
Dwayne Wade.
That's a good guess, but no. Two strikes.
Chuck is doing that thing where he's guessing multiple times again.
Oh, my bad.
Let me go with John Havlicek.
That's a great guess. It's two strikes apiece. There are some Hall of Famers here.
Damn.
There are some non-Hall of Famers, but all-star guys, too.
It's your turn, Chuck.
To shoot.
Do I get two? Do I get two since Chuck?
You guys both have two strikes.
Okay.
But, I mean, we already did Westbrook. Alex English.
Well, that's a good guess. No, he was more efficient. Mm-hmm. Chuck has struck out. This is kind of hard, but there are a couple you should get, I feel. You have to
be
an all-star.
We're going to get none of them.
You have to be an all-star generally to shoot 29 times. You guys have guessed. These are good guesses. Don't feel bad.
Okay. Allen Iverson.
Yes! Yes, I think, and we will just name, we'll name John the winner.
Yay!
In order of how many shots they shot, the other answers are Keith Van Horn, who was 7 for 30. Iverson, you got 7 for 31. Jerry West had a 7 for 31. Rick Barry had an 8 for 33. The most bizarre one, Dennis Scott had an 8 for 33.
3D.
Game. And then, you should all be ashamed, the god, Jerry Stackhouse.
Oh, dang. Wow.
7 for 34.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Incredible.
All right.
Damn.
Par fadeaway, what things are we looking forward to in the coming week?
Well, I'm looking forward to good basketball players playing basketball again. Kawhi Leonard's supposedly...
Kawhi bought back.
Supposedly coming back.
Wednesday is the day.
And recently I
showing that Kawhi Rate.
I've read that...
That's good, John.
That is Kawhi Rate.
I hadn't heard that before.
I also read recently that... Gordon Hayward is walking without his walking boot now. So I don't know if that means he's coming back anytime soon.
Heard like rumor of if they go deep in the playoffs, maybe just
he
maybe.
May come back. But yeah, he you know, players getting better is good. It's better for the NBA when the best players are on the court. Kawhi's that dude.
He'll roll out her like Dwayne Wade in a wheelchair.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking forward to December 15, which is the day the trade floodgates can open.
Woo!
After the most extreme offseason as far as player movement we maybe have ever seen, finally, some of these teams that regret their deals, I'm looking at you like everyone, and we can move some people. Maybe it's time for DeAndre Jordan to get shipped off. Maybe the Wolves don't even need Jeff Teague. Maybe the Grizzlies want to get Tony Allen back just to ride out the horrible, horrible losing and try to sell more season tickets for next year's post-apocalyptic world.
Thank you for not mentioning Marc Gasol. I'm looking forward to Friday. You might think it's because we get to see some amazing defensive stalwarts like Jazz take on the like-mindedly defensively stalwart Celtics. You might think it's a battle of the Pelicans and the Nuggets. You might think it's the suddenly Kawhi full Spurs against the surging Houston Rockets. But nay, let's find out who the worst team in the world is. Is it the Atlanta Hawks or the Memphis Grizzlies? Let's find out. Let's plumb the depths.
Even more parfait away, I think I'm looking forward to. I forgot to mention, I'm going to beat that game.
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
You are Schadenfreude made flesh, sir.
I think I am going to watch the Hawks Grizzlies on Friday and the Hawks Celtics on Saturday. I might back out of depression.
Yeah, that sounds...
In this podcast now, mercifully.
So yeah, if you want to support our program, please help us out. Go to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. You can follow us on Twitter at fastbreakbreak. Like us
move
on
the team to Seattle.
Facebook. Oh, you're gonna lose all our 20 listeners. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
Yeah, no apologize for being TNG. Fast break, man. You understand?